Advent celebration. And it's just going to be slightly different because what we're going to do is we're going to run through the sort of three themes of Advent. And the three themes of Advent I'm thinking about are, do you want to read them with me? The Lord has come. The Lord comes to us. The Lord will come again. The Lord has come. The Lord comes to us. The Lord will come again. And that first aspect, the Lord has come. I mean, we're looking forward. Well, I hope you're looking forward. I'm vaguely looking forward to Christmas. You know, there are aspects of Christmas that perhaps you're not looking forward to. But the one thing we can look forward to is the celebration of the baby Jesus. God incarnate, babe in a manger. The Lord has come. And I'll just ask you to focus on two things. I know that's perhaps slightly tricky. I'm a man, I can't do two things at once. But remember, when God created, what was the method of creation? God spoke and it happened. God's word is powerful, isn't it? Hello? Yes, good. And words are powerful. And one of the things about the Advent narrative, which you'll recall, at carol services very often, one of the first readings is from John's Gospel and the very first chapter. And that's because the writer picked up on the idea of God's word bringing about a new creation. And that's why we get in John 1, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, you see, Jesus was with God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing has been made. Nothing was made that has been made. Thank you. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And isn't that why we celebrate the birth of Jesus? Because the light has come into the darkness. God is bringing life to each one of us. And that light shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not overcome it. You know, a little bit of personal testimony. I used some prayer diaries, and I found myself, two of the prayer diaries are sort of, you know, one's to do with the persecuted church, one's to do just sort of with mission, and it surveys what's happening in a whole array of countries around the world. And truth be told, there's such a lot of bad stuff happening at the moment that I found myself feeling overwhelmed. And then I read a quote from C.S. Lewis. And C.S. Lewis reminded people in 1948 that, hey, the world was in a bad place. But you could die from infections and diseases. You could get run over by a bus, you know. You could go out your gate and life would end. You'd have a heart attack. So how do you live? You live with hope. You live with the hope that the light is shining. And you live your every day. You carry on doing what you're supposed to be doing. And if you die or he comes back, such is life. And that's actually the Christian hope, you know. Jesus has come. He makes a difference to us. We root our hope in him. And it was just amazing how God chose to come amongst us, was it not? Luke 1, again, one of the Christmas readings. And here's how it sounds.
The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God.
Jesus, his name is Jesus. He saves, you know, and in the next few weeks, you'll probably hear a few talks, maybe, on those verses, trying to help us capture again the incredibleness, if that is a word, of what God has done and the way that he did it. An ordinary virgin girl bore the one who is the saviour of the world. How incredible. The one who is wonderful. The one who is counsellor, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we're going to start this morning with the most fabulous piece of music. Classical music might not be your thing, and I accept that. And if you look at the screen and you think, and I've tried to choose sort of a group of youngsters, but you know, if it's not your thing, just close your eyes and soak in this. Because I have to say, I think this is one of the greatest pieces of music ever written. For unto us a child is born from Handel's Messiah. Let's enjoy it.
A child is born, unto us a son is given, unto us a son is given.
For to us a child is born,
unto us a child is born,
a son is given, unto us a son is given.
For when unto us a child is born,
unto us a child is born,
unto us a son is given, unto us a son is given,
unto us a son is given,
a son is given.
And the government shall be upon his shoulder.
And the government shall be upon his shoulder.
And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be upon his
Unto us a son is born. A son is given,
and the government shall be upon his shoulder.
And the government shall be upon his shoulder.
And the government shall be upon his shoulder.
And his neck shall be both one and the other.
Should be upon his own.
What a great piece of music, and what just a fabulous expression of the truth of the fact that the Lord has come in the person of his Son, Jesus. Emmanuel, God is with us. The Lord has come. Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And this is incarnation. God taking human form. The Word becoming flesh. Born supernaturally. God dwelling amongst us in the person of Jesus. The Lord has come. Hallelujah. The Lord has come.
From heaven he came as a helpless babe, entered our world, his glory veiled, not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life that we might live.
The light who had come into the world, of course, grew to be a man. And he was commissioned to begin his public ministry as the Holy Spirit fell upon him and led him out first into the desert to be tested and then into the wider areas of the home territory to begin to speak and teach. And so we move to his life and we think about the Jesus who spoke to the crowds, who trained the disciples, who ministered to people in a variety of needs. He came to restore a broken relationship with God and a broken world, to call you and I to repentance for not following God's ways, to enable us to be certain of our place in the kingdom of God from which he'd come. And so during his life, he taught and he did a variety of things. And some of the key aspects of his ministry, which we can focus on, was, remember, he taught in parables, yeah? Earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. And he was such a genius, wasn't he, at communication. He could pick up on the ordinary things that people were familiar with and teach them about the realities of the kingdom of God in their midst, about the love that God had for them, about how to enter into the kingdom that God wanted us to know about. Earthly stories. And that's why so often they began with, the kingdom of God is like a small seed that blossoms into a big tree. The yeast in a dough of bread, which grows and grows and grows. And that's what he was doing. He was bringing the kingdom and the influence of the kingdom so it could touch various aspects of our lives and the life that we live. He also made incredible statements through which he demonstrated both the truths of the kingdom of God being present and the now of the fact that the kingdom of God was present. And John's Gospel lays these statements out most clearly in the I am sayings. Remember them? I am the bread of life, he said as a statement. And what did he do? He fed 5,000 people with a few loaves and fishes. Woo! I am the light of the world, he said. And what did he do? He opened the eyes of a man who'd been in darkness all his life, a man born blind, who Jesus enabled to see. Woo! Great! I am the gate for the sheep, he said. And he provides the way for you and I and everybody we know and love and other people who will accept him into the kingdom of God. I am the good shepherd, he said. And he showed his love for all sorts of people of all sorts of backgrounds and conditions. Those who were cast out from society, who were pushed aside like the lepers because of their disease, he touched. The woman with the flow of blood, whose menstrual flow made her unclean, he healed and brought her back into the fullness of society. The sick, the rejected, he touched, he blessed, he restored, he loved, he valued, just like you and I are to do. And then, of course, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoa, what a statement. And you know what he did about that one, don't you? Yeah. Hello? Yes! He raised people from the dead and he himself rose from the dead. Death is not the final barrier that we once thought it was. Yes, absolutely. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth about the way into God's kingdom, the truth about ourselves and our fallenness and how we need to respond, the life we can enjoy if we put our relationship with God right through Jesus. And he said, I am the true vine. And as a vine is many branches connected to one central root, what he was saying is, he gives us connectedness with God. He gives me connectedness with God. He gives you connectedness with the God who is the Lord of the whole universe. Don't you think that's grace? I do. That's why I like Advent. That's why it is so worth celebrating. But the sad thing is that for all this, he wasn't liked by those in power. I mean, how can you not like a guy who does all those things? You know, it's like for many years, I have to tell you about, you know, praying for the persecuted church world. I just couldn't understand, why is it that governments like China, Eritrea, Myanmar, and loads of others persecute Christian people when all they're doing is, you know, we do good, don't we? We try and bring about transformation and hope. But you see, Christians are seen as a political threat by secular powers and by the legions of demons who wanted control of the earth. And Jesus was seen as a blasphemer because he called God Abba and claimed an intimate relationship with him and claimed that he could forgive people's sins. And so his earthly ministry was brought, as you well know, to a horrific end. He was crucified and he died. And that death and that crucifixion was a seeming defeat and end to any hopes invested in him and the message he had preached. Well, at least that's what the authorities thought. But we know different, don't we? He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Christ did not stay dead. In fact, on that cross, Jesus put death to death. He smashed through the barrier built up between earth and heaven by disobedience, rejection, and sin. And we know that's what his resurrection means. God so loved the world that he gave.
God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.
Even though I'm doing it. Because it's not mine, is it? It's the content of the Christian faith. And Peter gives thanks in this way.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade.
He has risen. Hallelujah. The Lord has come. The Lord comes to us. And this is the significance of resurrection, isn't it? You know, it's not just a past event that we celebrate. It should be an everyday reality. That is actually God's intention for us. What was the relationship of God like with Adam and Eve in the garden? It was intimate. They could speak to him. And so with the resurrection of Jesus and the Lord coming to us, he wants our relationship with him to be real, intimate, close. Every day, the Lord comes to us. This is the second and amazing aspect of Advent. Yeah, go back to that slide, that previous one. Say it with me. The Lord comes to us. And that's what we're focusing on now. Because also, marvelously, the resurrection is followed by the giving of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of Jesus is gifted to us so that the presence of Jesus is real for us. Jesus in his human form was limited to one place, one time. So how did he enable us to know his presence constantly? He ascended back to be with the Father and sent his Holy Spirit so that his Holy Spirit can be known by each and every one of us. So that Jesus can stay with us and be known by us in the here and now. It's why we bang on about the Holy Spirit. It's so important. He loves us so much. Christianity is not, as I've said, about celebrating a past event and even looking forward to a future event. It's a now event. It's a now event. God wants his presence to be real now. He loves us so much. The resurrection and the giving of the Holy Spirit mean that Jesus is here. He is here now. He is with us now. The Lord comes to us. Let's celebrate the resurrection and remember those things in the light of that.
On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen."
See a familiar verse for Easter. But I want you to see, he is not here. He is risen. You know, he is risen. If he's risen, where is he? Through his Spirit, he's amongst us. He's here. He's here. He's with us. And the resurrection appearances that followed underlined that. Ed, let's read the next one.
Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them.
And those of you who know your Bibles will know that when Jesus taught about the Holy Spirit, he said to the disciples that the Holy Spirit would remind them of everything that he had said to them. Yeah? And make it real. Now, the way he does that, of course, is when you and I read our Bibles on a regular basis. And God speaks and the word comes alive. And that is the primary way of God speaking to us today. Final resurrection appearance. Jane.
They found the 11 and those with them assembled together. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you."
Anybody here not need peace? What a wonderful gift. What's one of the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. The Holy Spirit who is with us. The Lord who has come gives us peace. A week later, Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out and put your hand into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And you know the story. You know what Thomas said then. "My Lord and my God." Because the scales had fallen from his eyes and he knew who Jesus was. Can I just ask you, and please don't feel guilty, it's a thing of love, if there's still scales need to fall from your eyes in terms of seeing that Jesus is with you each and every day, not just with the disciples back then, but with you. Pray that God will do that, because he will do that. He wants to. He loves you so much. He wants you to know his presence with them. And then, of course, John 21, afterwards again, Jesus appeared again to his disciples, this time by the Sea of Galilee. And I like this one. I like this story because he was cooking bacon and eggs for breakfast. Wasn't he? No. Oh, was it fish? Oh, well, never mind. I quite like fish, but not as much as bacon and eggs. But he was cooking breakfast. What a wonderful act of love. Because he wanted them, he wanted us to know he is risen. Not only has the Lord come, but the Lord comes through his Spirit. Paul prayed for the... He gives us his Holy Spirit, the gift of his Holy Spirit. And let's just remind ourselves of how that came about. Jane.
Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit.
Oh. This is longing for you and I. That we be filled, that we feel the wind, the breath of God's Spirit, that the fire burns up the dross within us, that the gifts help us serve him, that the fruit is grown in us so that others will see that this Jesus is real in our lives and changes us and adapts us.
When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit.
And some of you will know that, you know, there's a bit of torture goes on about that text amongst scholars. But forget the torture. The point is undeniable that the Holy Spirit comes to us. And if you're not sure that you've received him, God wants you to know that you've received him. If you need him a bit more, pray for him a bit more, because I don't think God minds that either. God wants to be known. God wants his love to be known. He wants his grace to be known. He wants his mercy to be known. He wants his justice and his truth to be known. And the Spirit brings those things to us. The Lord is here. The Lord comes. The Lord makes his presence real. Paul prayed for the Ephesian Christians in words that apply to all who are Christians. I pray that out of the glorious riches, out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen us with power through his Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. Jesus comes to us. Jesus is with us by the gift of the Holy Spirit, having invited him in. He is with us. You see, don't let me give you the impression that there's anything sort of magical about the piece of bread, but just look at the bread. The Lord has come. He came incarnate in Christ Jesus. He took on a human body. The Lord comes to us. By his Spirit, as we've just been saying, he comes within us. He dwells in our bodies. And he unites us together so that we can be the body of Christ to the world. John wrote in his letter, 1 John, that which was from the beginning, you know, the word that was with God, we've heard. We've seen with our eyes. We've looked. Our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. This life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have heard and seen, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He comes to us. I am the bread of life, said Jesus. So feed on him. Let's receive the bread together, the life of the world. And quietly say thank you that he comes to you. Fills your life with his presence. Gives you joy, peace, if you will receive him, strengthens you, becomes very life within you. And then take the wine, or the fruit juice of the vine. Remember those verses that we were looking at just a few moments ago? I am sayings, I am the vine, said Jesus. You are the branches. Yeah? He gives you connectedness with the Father. He cleanses you, as liquid sometimes feels as if it's doing as it slithers down on the inside, from all your sin. He gives you, as a vibrant wine does, as you taste it, if you're into wine, new life. All represented by that little cup. Drink this in remembrance that Christ died for you, Christ has come for you, and Christ comes to you. And let's just be quiet for a moment or two, and in that quiet you can express your own thanks. The Lord comes to us. The Lord will come again. And the third aspect, got that wrong, didn't I? The Lord has come, the Lord comes to us, and then the third aspect of Advent, the Lord will come again. The Lord will come again. Hallelujah.
And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen. The Lord will come again, and every knee will bow, and every tongue confess. God, there's going to be some people feeling mighty silly, aren't there? They got it right! Fantastic!
For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words.
Encourage one another with these words. Turn to your neighbour and say, you're going to heaven when he comes again. Is that encouraging? Yes. Yes, yes. And the book of Revelation, doesn't it, tells us of the end of this imperfect, tortuous, dark, troubled, divided world, sin imprisoned, and it tells us of the creation of a new heaven and earth. It tells us of the coming of the kingdom of God in its fullness.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.
Keep going.
He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.
Way! The old order of things will pass away. Wow! Am I looking forward to that day, people? Are you? Being with him, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Do you know, I'm sorry, I just had to inflict this on you as well, because there's no greater piece of music to my mind that captures for me the joy than this.
And he shall be for the one and the other. And he shall be for the one and the other. And he shall be for the one and the other.
Fantastic it is. Fantastic. Love it. The Lord. The Lord. The Lord. And again, the Lord. The Lord. The Lord. Hallelujah. This is Advent. This is Advent. I hope you enjoy it over the next few weeks. I hope it draws you closer to Him. I hope it fills your heart with joy. I hope it gives you that deep assurance that knowing Him brings. You know, Handel, when he wrote that, he'd been in depression. And it was writing that lifted him out of depression. And what a gift to the world. What a gift to each one of us. Absolutely fantastic.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. And remember, He came, He comes, and He will come again. Hallelujah. Amen.